In 2018, a Gallup poll reported that 45% of Americans trusted mass media to report the news accurately and fairly. That's up from an all-time low of 32% in 2016, but still far lower than the levels of trust in the 1990s. Healing this relationship is one reason why Fresno State created the Institute for Media and Public Trust last summer. Next week, the Institute will hold its biggest symposium to date, called Putting Fake News in the Rearview Mirror: How the Media Can Win Back the Trust of All Americans. The keynote speaker, Steven Engelberg, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who founded the investigative unit at the New York Times and is now editor-in-chief of the nonprofit investigative news service ProPublica. Engelberg gave me a preview of next week's symposium.
Well, we've seen a couple of trends at the same time. I mean, we have seen a significant sort of increase in the hostility between some of the people who are covered by the media and the media itself, particularly since the Trump years. And we've also seen a drop in people's trust in the media. And I think that reflects a couple of trends. One is the rise of what one might call partisan media. I think Rupert Murdoch and Fox News figured out that you could really make money by creating a much more sort of assertively partisan network. And they've been successful with that with Fox, and there have been then people who've responded. I think MSNBC, to some extent, is a response to Fox doing that and doing so on the left. And so I think, you know, all of this has combined to significantly drop people's trust in media.
Right. And then, of course, you know, certainly since the 2016 election, there's been, you know, kind of evidence coming out of harmful information sharing practices on social media. There are, of course, trolls and infamous purveyors of fake news. But that can't be the whole story here. I mean, you know, it sounds like this relationship has been degrading since long before the 2016 presidential election.
Yeah, I think part of it is actually driven by trends that are completely separate from sort of what politicians say and what journalists write. You know, we have the increasing atomization of media brought on by the internet. There was a time, you know, 30 years ago when I started, where essentially there were three network anchors and a small number of newspapers and a local paper in each town, and that was the media. And it was far more monolithic, and it was sort of, you kind of got what you got, you know. Walter Cronkite spoke and 30 million people listened. That is no longer at all true. And at this point, you know, we've been slicing the audience up into smaller and smaller pieces. And I think it's much easier for people to live within bubbles of their own opinion. And that has had an effect both on the audience itself, which feels, I think, more tribal, and on the writers who, you know, can write for people who entirely agree with their perspective and are never questioned by, never a cloud falls into the sky of your little bubble from either side of this transaction. And I think that is problematical. That does degrade trust, because then as you see things that you don't agree with, you think, well, it's made up. And to make matters even worse on the internet, it's actually possible to make things up. I mean, some people are making things up. And so I think this has entirely blurred the lines between, you know, what you might call real news and fake news. It's, you know, harder and harder to tell the difference.
Well, so then talk a little bit about the consequences of that. I mean, as you said, there are more kind of opinion-based biased news outlets out there. Also, we can point to shrinking newsrooms, shrinking salaries in general for reporters and editors. But what about the consequences then to society and the public?
Well, the consequences are dire, because if we don't have an agreed upon set of facts that we can, you know, have disputes as the basis, then how on earth do we conduct a democracy? I think this is really, really serious. And so you end up with results like, for example, Brexit, where, you know, people in Britain really had no idea what they were voting on. And those people who voted to leave said, well, whatever it is, we're not going to trust the experts because they couldn't possibly be right. And so you end up with, I think, increasingly uninformed debate about really important things. And then you have politicians who are going to fuel that or benefit from it. And so I think this is a very, very serious thing. There's a reason why the First Amendment to the Constitution protected the rights of a free press. The framers understood that having a free and open conversation was crucial to democracy. You know, and increasingly, I think that this sort of undercurrent of tribalism and sometimes, what you might call actually fake things is really undermining democracy. It makes it harder and harder for people to know what to think of big issues.
Is this a crisis point, would you say?
Well, you know, we always talk about crisis. I hesitate to call it a crisis point, but I do think that there are a number of very, very worrying trends. You know, to have a president of the United States repeatedly, tweet and to his followers that the journalists are, reporters are the enemies of the people, certainly encourages violence toward journalists. And we've seen violence toward journalists, and we're going to see more. And that is very worrying. I think what you alluded to earlier, the decline in the number of journalists, the decline in the number of publications, is also very worrying, because then, what are they replaced by? And they are, to some extent, replaced by, Twitter trolls, and people spouting nonsense.
So this symposium that you'll be speaking at next Tuesday is titled Putting Fake News in the Rearview Mirror, How the Media Can Win Back the Trust of All Americans. Can you preview some ways in which you think that relationship can be repaired? I mean, what needs to happen, do you think, and how much of that responsibility falls upon journalists and the media themselves?
Well, I certainly think we do have some responsibility. Absolutely, yes. And I think some things that we can do, I work at ProPublica, which is a nonprofit news organization. We've tried to do a couple of things in the name of winning back readers' trust and also doing good journalism. One is to be very, very transparent about where your information comes from. The internet, and we are an internet publication, a digital publication, allows you sort of unlimited space to hyperlink to things that are the basis of your work, whether those are documents or calculations or statistics. So we try to be very, very transparent and clear about where our information is coming from. People use that phrase, fake news. I'm fond of Professor Jameson at Penn State saying, it's not fake news, it's VD, viral deception. And one of the ways VD can be detected is that there's no real source behind it. It's deceptive, it's made up. And so that's one thing. I think the other thing that we can do as journalists is to be forthright when we make a mistake. We at ProPublica have the luxury of spending some time on our investigations. We don't make an enormous number of mistakes, but we've certainly made our share. And when we've done so, we've tried to level with readers about what we did, why it was important, and why they should understand the story in a different way than we had initially said. And so I think those two things can help. There is certainly a group of people who are never going to be persuaded that the media has anything but, ill intent. But I think there's a greater group of people who are still listening, and I think you can boost their sense of trust in the media by being more transparent, more open, and more clear about when things go wrong, what you're going to do about it. And I think there are things that we did over the past. There did tend to be a sort of Olympian tone to the way the media presented news. We're the smart people, and it is your job to listen. And in the modern internet world, that's no longer true. People have lots of choices, and arrogance and sort of omniscience are not a good look these days. And so I think the extent to which we have caused people to feel that that's what we have to present, we can do better. Having said that, if you take all of that out of every story, it's not like automatically everyone's going to go back to the days when media, enjoyed a sort of 70-80% trust rating.
Steven Engelberg is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and editor-in-chief of the investigative news service ProPublica, and he'll be speaking at Fresno State on Tuesday, February 26th. Steven, thank you so much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.